Welcome to another Northwest Herald Football Podcast, sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings and Algonquin and Crystal Lake. I'm Northwest Herald sports writer Joe Stevenson, along with sports writer Sean Hammond and sports editor Kyle Neighbors. And Kyle, I bow to you, sir. You are the man. You can't see this. There's no video with this podcast. I'm doing the we're not worthy bow to Kyle right now. You warned us about Edwardsville coming to Huntley in 8A, and you were right. Tigers were very tough. They upset the Red Raiders 26 over a 7 seed in 8A.
Yeah.
And you also picked Lincoln Way West over Jacobs in 7A. The Warriors won that game 14-7 on Saturday. So kudos to you, Kyle.
Yeah, I wish we had more local teams still playing, but just kind of the way it shook out. I was more confident, actually, oddly enough, in Edwardsville than in Lincoln Way West. I wasn't sure what to expect out of West looking through their schedule. Edwardsville, I've seen that team a lot at my old job down in Bourbonnais, and I've seen a lot from that conference. So I knew it was a good conference, and the way they were playing after starting 0-3, I just had a feeling they were going to be able to match Huntley. And it was kind of the way I thought it would play out. It's not like it was a blowout or anything like that. I said to you, first one to 50 wins. And
yeah,
it
just about right.
I would say we didn't get that high of score, but I mean, yeah, it was 42-38. It was a great game.
Yeah, it was a tough game for Huntley, which took a 17-point lead in the third quarter. And I really thought there for a while the Raiders had figured out how to slow the Tigers down pretty well. Their defense had played pretty well and stopped them. They scored 24 consecutive points. And then their defense just didn't get the job done in the second half. 28 points, 284-yard plays in the third quarter.
Yeah, Edwardsville did a really good job of making adjustments. It's kind of how I feared it was going to go. I didn't think Huntley could get the stops, and it was going to come down to who made a mistake. And unfortunately, Huntley made a really costly one on a kickoff return and allowed Edwardsville to take the lead late in that game.
It was a really fun game to watch. 42-38, Edwardsville wins. And it was great fun watching the quarterbacks, Eric Mooney from Huntley, Kendall Abdur-Rahman from Edwardsville, who their coach said their coach Matt Martin said he was a defensive back last year, and they moved him over this year. He thinks more people ought to be recruiting him Division I just as an athlete.
Yeah.
Not as a quarterback, because I don't think he'd be a quarterback, but boy, that kid can run, he can play, and he was really good. I mean, think about that. You're 5 hours from home. You're 17 points down in the third quarter. That's a lot of grit to come back in a game like that. And
it was also about 35 degrees out.
Yeah, it's real cold. So, but that was really fun watching those two quarterbacks go back and forth, wasn't it?
It was a good time. And, Sean, you saw Huntley quite a bit this year. They took it pretty hard losing that game. I'm sure you thought they had some pretty good expectations, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they certainly, this seemed like, you know, a year where they could make a run, and certainly maybe they could have if they had pulled this game out. Like we've been saying all year, their offense is great, and you know, they just didn't really get it done defensively. You know, giving up 38 points and obviously a mistake or two in there, on the kick return and stuff like that. It's tough. Anytime you lose in the first round, I know those Huntley guys were looking for more this year.
Yeah, you know, and it's tough in 8A. I mean, it's hard to understate how deep this field is. Almost on a weekly basis, any team can lose in 8A. So it's not shocking, but he just kind of feel bad for him. If they were in 7A, this team is still playing. This team probably is a state title contender. They're just a little bit too large.
8A is crazy. There's so many great teams out there, and we saw it last year with Huntley as a 24 seed going over to beat Stevenson and then getting into the quarterfinals. There were a couple of tough losses for team that made the quarterfinals last year. The two we were talking about were Jacobs and Huntley. The teams we still have remaining, we have 5, Prairie Ridge and Cary Grove, which will meet in 6A, Marion Central in 5A, and Johnsburg and Richmond Burton from the Kishwaukee River Conference in 4A. I saw that 7A game Saturday night with Jacobs losing to Lincoln Way West, and West defense was outstanding for most of the game. Really tough to hold them to 7 points. The Golden Eagles had a couple tough breaks. If the first possession, they go inside West's 10-yard line. Lauren Strickland was carrying the ball, and I couldn't see. There was a lot of people. It was on the other side of the field. They called him for a fumble. Jacobs thought maybe the ground caused the fumble. Who knows? It was close. So they missed that possession. And then on their next to last possession of the game, when they had a chance to tie, maybe force it to overtime, they were at the 5-yard line. I thought they were going to score. I thought this, and I knew, well, actually, it wouldn't have gone to overtime because I know Bill Mitz was going to go for two. He was ready to go for two. And so, you know, that would have been fun. They get to the 5-yard line and got a holding, move back to the 15. So.
Yeah, Coach Mitz certainly has that that personality of, you know, we're going to go for it right here. And it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if they scored that touchdown.
It would. What do you guys think in that? Would you do that if you're a coach? Would you go for two? You go down, say you score like in the last minute.
I think it all depends on the game and situation, because a game like that where it's 14-7, I imagine Jacob's defense was playing pretty well. Would you say that?
It was.
Yeah,
it was.
I mean, if it's a high-scoring game, you know, if your defense isn't getting stops, it's, you know, tough to stop a team from 10 yards out, then maybe you go for it. But if you trust your defense, I mean, take it into overtime and see what happens. Yeah. I don't know.
What do you think, Kyle?
I would think with Jacob's power running game, I'd be comfortable taking it to overtime with that offensive line. Obviously, Lincoln Way West is a pretty good offense as well, but I don't think I'd go for two in that situation.
You know, one thing that somebody mentioned to me years ago, I think it was a coach, said, you know, in that situation, you have just driven down and scored, and the other team's a little bit demoralized, and just, you know, go ahead and go for the jugular. I kind of like that attitude. You can certainly make a case for both sides.
But here's the thing, like, for a high school team, particularly a run-heavy team like that, I'm not putting it in my quarterback hand on a two-point play. And I think the defense is going to know that pretty well. They're going to stack the box now, and you're going to have to make a play there. I'd rather just go to overtime and take my chances there.
Well, overtime, at least in high school, is fair, unlike the NFL, but that's a subject for another day. But so in 6A, guys, we get the matchup we expected when the brackets came out. Number 1, Prairie Ridge, will play at number 9, Cary Grove, at 1 p.m. on Saturday. It's surprising. As many great games as these two have played in the past few years, they've only met in the playoffs in 2005 and 2009. Cary Grove won both those games. 2005, it was 28-0. 2009, it was the semifinals. You guys weren't around here then. Prairie Ridge had a really great playoff run, but really wasn't quite ready for that Cary Grove team. Cary Grove went on and won state that year, beat them 40-7. But that was the first of three, by the way, semifinal appearances for Prairie Ridge. And the third one, they got it done and got the 2011 6A title. But, Kyle, you got to see PR last week in its opener, 61-24 over Crystal Lake Central. What'd you see?
It's what I've seen all year from Prairie Ridge. It's the fourth or fifth time I've covered them this year. It was fun. I asked Coach Chris Shrimp after the game, how many times have you scored on the first possession this year? And obviously against Cary Grove in week one they didn't, but I haven't gone back to look yet. And he wasn't sure. He said he didn't really care as long as he scored. But it's amazing how quickly they're able to put points on the board and how quickly they'll get on top of teams. Zach Gilbranson this week was the guy. I think it was 62-yard touchdown on the first play of the game. It's like, you know, you're Crystal Lake Central. You're coming off a really close loss where you thought you're going to beat Cary Grove. Cary Grove went, you know, had a touchdown in the last play and went for two. And you're like, okay, we just almost beat a really good Cary Grove team. Maybe we can at least make this interesting early against Prairie Ridge, and there goes Zach Goldbranson right down the sideline. It's like, well, here we go.
He's really something, and he's stepped into a role. Last year they had Cole Brown, who was a really good running back. They had Austin Furbit, the tight end, that was a big play guy. And I think Zach is so integral to that offense now with Samson Evans to have another big play home run type guy.
His yards per carry is ridiculous. Yes. I don't have the number in front of me right now, but yeah, he's putting some pretty wild runs together.
I looked it up. His yards per touch from the line of scrimmage, because his receptions are crazy too. It's like 30 per reception. I think his yards per touch from the line of scrimmage is something like 15. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, that's wild.
I figured it up, but it was a pretty staggering number. Well, Sean, you got to see Cary Grove on Friday night, and the Trojans beat number 8 San Ignatius 42-14. They went into the city and took care of that. The Wolfpack did not score until the fourth quarter when they were down. It was down 42-0.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The Trojans went up big in this one.
So what'd you think of Kerry Grove, and how good does fullback Max Skoll look in his second game back?
Well, he certainly is healthy and he's back. He, you know, he had a lot of touches and scored 3 touchdowns in that game. They were rolling, and they were probably the better team on Friday against St. Ignatius. Quinn Priester did suffer a little bit of a thumb injury or something there. Coach Seberg said he's fine. I imagine he'll play.
I did get that confirmed this morning, by the way. I texted Coach Seberg. I said, is Quinn okay? He said, yep.
So yeah. That's
good to hear.
They were up by 35 points when he hurt his thumb. So I think they kind of figured, all right, let's just take it easy and get to next week. But yeah, I mean, they looked good. They took care of business and they were scoring with ease. Some big runs. That's one of the things Coach Seberg liked. You know, he said they hadn't had any big, you know, 50, 60 yard runs since he guessed since Jacobs in week 4. I didn't really look that up,
Max
but
broke one for 67, like to start that game. So
yeah. Max had a big run. Quinn had a big run. Ben McDonald, the other quarterback, had a big run. I think 79 yard touchdown run. So yeah, they looked good.
I was a bit surprised by how easily they handled. I expected them to win by probably 2 to 3 scores. But, you know, after Central almost knocked off Kerry Grove. And the other thing was, I don't know what happened with St. Ignatius there. Like, they beat a really good St. Lawrence team the week before in week 9. So that kind of made me think, okay, this St. Ignatius team is going to be able to do some things. And then, no. They're just, no.
They, you know, they ran a somewhat similar, you know, triple option sort of attack. They were running the ball a lot early, and it wasn't working. And then they had to throw the ball. You know, they probably attempted more passes than they wanted to, and it wasn't, you know, really there.
Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin and Crystal Lake are proud sponsors of today's podcast. And here's some information. You can earn loyalty points at B-Dubs. Just sign up for the Blazing Rewards program and start earning points on every purchase you make. And right now, you can earn extra points by eating items like the Cali Chicken Sandwich, Fiesta Pork Tacos, and more. Order online for easy pickup. Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin on Randall Road or in Crystal Lake on Route 14 across from Sam's Club. All right, so we move along to Class 5A, and number 14, Marion Central, took down number 3, Antioch, 31-9. But I think we agree, guys, regardless of what the seeds say, this was not an upset.
Yeah, I don't think any of us were surprised by this outcome.
No, definitely not. Even with Antioch coming in 9-0, you know, I think Marion might have been the favorite in this one, and they certainly took care of business.
Yeah, they did, and the offense continues to get a little bit better. You know, 31 points, that's the most other than week 9 that they've scored in a long, long time. So that's a good sign for the Hurricanes. Gavin Scott had another big game. A.J. Golombeski didn't complete a lot of passes but had a couple touchdown passes. So, and Ryan St. Clair had a big game on defense, 2 fumble recoveries and an interception. So the Hurricanes move on. They get Glen Bard South this week. And Woodstock North, so beat up and injured and could not muster much against a really good Lamont team and lost 50-0. I think we kind of saw bad things coming for the Thunder.
Yeah, a lot of injuries. And it's, you know, when you look back on this season for them, there's, you know, there's a tough couple of early losses that easily could have been wins, and there's, you know, the injuries. Obviously, you look at the injuries and you can't do anything about it, but, you know, there's a little bit of, man, what could have been if every, you know, obviously everything didn't go right for them this year, but, you know, they had a decent team, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, those early losses and then the injuries, everything kind of just went wrong there. Yeah. And it ended up with a draw that I don't think there's many teams in 5A that are going to be able to beat Lamont. And when you're not healthy to begin with, that was really a tough assignment for them.
In Class 4A, it was about what we expected for our teams. I think number 1, Johnsburg, rolls past Urban Prep Englewood 47-0. The Skyhawks have allowed 6 points in their last 3 games. And Adam Jaco, man, their quarterback, completing 71.3% of his passes, leads the area with 2,441 yards, 38 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Pretty impressive.
That's really impressive. 38 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Yeah. That is wild.
Not too bad. Sean, you saw Richmond Burton defeat Urban Prep Bronzeville 21-6 on Saturday at Gately Stadium. It looked like a real solid defensive effort for the Rockets. They allowed 156 total yards. What were your impressions of RB?
Yeah, good defensive effort. Like you mentioned, 156 total yards. They also scored a touchdown defensively. Peyton Minzie picked up a fumble and ran it back about 20 yards for a touchdown. This Bronzeville team was big. They had some big kids up front, and Coach Tad DePorter said afterwards, you know, we don't have big kids up front at Richmond Burton, at least not comparatively to what Bronzeville was bringing out there. But they did enough. Their offense did enough. There were 3 fumbles. I know they weren't happy with that offensively for the Rockets. That's something they'll have to clean up certainly going into next week. But they had a couple of big runs. Jimmy Horner had a big 49 yard run, something like that. So they did enough, you know, to pick up the 21-6 victory here.
And Kyle, we do the other state podcast with our buddy Steve Susie, and he has been singing the praises of Chicago Raby, which is RB's next opponent all season. What do you know about them, and what RB might see here on Saturday?
Honestly, I don't know a lot about it. We're going to have to ask Seuss about this. So from what I can tell, they're a very solid program. They gave Phillips a good game. I believe they beat Solario, right?
Yes, they did. They
beat I was talking to Mike Clark on Saturday. He was at the Prairie Ridge Crystal Lake Central game. Mike Clark over at the Chicago Tribune, and he was talking about that Solario has maybe the best QB in Chicago. So that the fact that they Raby was able to beat them, I think this is going to be a really big challenge for Richmond Burton.
I do too. Yeah, 42-28 to Phillips. That's not too bad. That's Phillips is a really good team to only lose by 2 touchdowns.
And I was looking at this too. That's the only game this year where their opponent scored more than 6, which is
really
interesting.
Wow,
who knows about all those opponents, but still to do that in 8 games is pretty impressive.
By the way, Raby has maybe the best name in the state. Their quarterback is Tyshawn Turnipseed.
That's Seuss's guy.
Thrown for 1,000 yards and 13 touchdowns and run for like 400. And their running back is Danquise Smith is 1,300, almost 1,400 yards rushing. So, yeah, the Rockets are going to have a tough customer here on Saturday.
And the Raby coach was standing there right along the sideline watching Richmond Burton. And it was funny, Tad DePorter comes off the sideline after the game, and the first person who comes up to him is the Raby coach. All right, what time you want to play?
He was right there in the city, so he could scout it. That's pretty good.
I mean, Chicago Raby did hang 58 points on Rock Island Alleman here in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah. All right, well, let's make our picks for the second round, guys. We have in 6A the much-awaited first playoff game for Prairie Ridge and Cary Grove since 2009. We thought it was going to happen in 2011. We'll backtrack just a second. In 2011, Cary Grove, Brad Seberg's first year, beats Prairie Ridge in the final regular season game. They scored right near the end of the game, and Seberg went for 2. And they had a crazy play, threw a pass, and Ryan Mahoney caught the pass. They beat him 22-21. So we thought that in the quarterfinals that year, they might see each other again. And Nazareth nixed that. They took Cary Grove out in the second round that year.
First off, let's give Joe props for remembering who caught the touchdown to win a game 6 years ago.
Yeah, I was there.
That's
I was there. It's
that's ancient history.
last year we thought we were going to see that in the semifinal. That would have been really a lot of fun.
And DeKalb spoiled
that one. So anyway, first meeting in the playoffs since 2009. Sean, Prairie Ridge at Cary Grove. You're going to get to see that game Saturday.
Yeah, and before I make my pick, I want to ask you guys, you know, do you think we're going to see what we saw in week one, a 7-6, you know, 1-point game? You know, what are we expecting?
No.
No.
Neither of you guys do?
No.
No.
Although
I think it's going to be a lot more points.
I'm not sure if it's going to be a ton more points. I don't think Carey's going to score a ton in this game. And I also don't think the weather conditions are going to be.
Yeah, the weather is not looking great.
I mean, we're looking at maybe upper 30s and rain right now, they're saying. So,
I mean, they do know each other so well because they both run the option, so they know how to defend it better. But I still think we're going to see some points.
Yeah,
I think Prairie Ridge is the better team on paper. I would say if I had to handicap it, I'd say probably 10 to 14 points better. It's odd with these rivals, though. You know what I mean? We saw it in week one. I would have told you at week one that Prairie Ridge was 10 to 14 points better.
Yeah,
and they almost lost at home. So obviously, they're both of them. You know, you expect to be a lot better than they were in week one at this point, but should be interesting.
Well, I don't know the ancient history like you do, Joe, but this is my second season here, and Prairie Ridge has not lost since I've been in this area. Okay, so I'm going to pick the Wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think the Wolves have too much talent for Cary Grove to match up with.
I do, too. I will take Prairie Ridge. In 5A, we go to number 14, Marion Central, 6-4, at number 11, Glenbard South, also 6-4. A 3 p.m. game on Saturday. Who you have, Sean?
I don't know a whole lot about Glenbard South. I know they're not quite the same size as their other Glenbard schools, and maybe not quite the same football history. I think this is probably a winnable game for Marion. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know a lot about Glenbard South makeup. Looking through their schedule, not particularly impressive. You know, anytime they've come up against what I would term as even an average opponent, that hasn't gone well. I see Catholic got him pretty good. Riverside Brookfield, who I believe lost in the first round, got him. I'm not taking much away from them beating Chicago Payton in the first round. I think Woodstock.
They gave up a lot of points in that game.
Yeah, they did. I think Marion Central is going to get them pretty easily, actually.
Yeah, I'm also going to pick the Hurricanes in this. I'm going to go with the team that's on the winning streak here.
Yeah, I'm going with Marion as well. The Hurricanes are healthy, and again, coming from that East Suburban Catholic, boy, they got so many tough games all year. I think they get it done and get on to the quarterfinals again. In 4A, a rematch, number 8 Rochelle, 7-3, at number 1 Johnsburg, 10-0, 6 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah, Rochelle, this is a rematch from week 2, is that right?
40-22.
You covered that game, didn't you?
I did not cover that game.
Is that Alex?
I think that was, yes, it was, because I went back and read that story.
Okay.
Just a little while ago.
Yeah, 40-22 Johnsburg.
I didn't see that game, but I've heard that Rochelle has some pretty big kids up on their D-line. You know, is that Johnsburg's closest score this year? I think it is.
Yeah.
Yes. Certainly one to, you know, they're not going to take it. You don't want to go into this game lightly, and then obviously they're not going to be doing that. I think Johnsburg will win this game, but, you know, it could be a couple possession game. I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's probably going to be closer than a couple possessions. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. 7-10 points.
I was thinking, maybe they win by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think that's probably the high end. Yeah. I think this Rochelle team is pretty good. They've been playing well here down the stretch. Their only loss was to Sterling. I mean, when I say their only loss since week 5. They've won 5 out of 6. Beat a pretty good Geneseo team.
Interesting, too. This is the first time anyone this season will have seen this Johnsburg offense for a second time.
Yeah, you know, interesting.
Who knows what that means, but that could be important.
Yeah, their other losses was they lost to Johnsburg in week 2 and Morris in week 4.
The game against Morris was close, 34-30. Yeah, the only game that they weren't in was against Sterling.
Yeah.
And I think at this point we can go ahead and say Sterling's legit.
Yeah. I will go with Johnsburg as well. And then our last game is number 2 Chicago Raby with Tyshun Turnipseed. Just love to say that name. 9-1 at number 10 Richmond Burton. And they have Mike Kaufman. He's pretty good too. 7-3.
Mike Kaufman had another good game on Saturday, and I don't know a whole lot about Raby, but I feel like they're probably the better team. I think I'm going to pick them.
Yeah. You know, I respect what Raby's been able to do against – they haven't faced a lot of quality competition, but the quality competition that they have faced, they've been competitive. Obviously, like we said, the win over Solorio, they played Phillips pretty tough. I mean, all the props to Richmond Burn for what they've been able to do this year. I didn't expect them to be a playoff team, in all honesty. So the fact that they're in the second round, I give them credit, but I don't think they're going to be able to keep this one particularly close.
I too, that Raby Phillips score, that's the one that keeps coming back to me to play Phillips that tough. I will pick Raby as well. So that'll do it for this week. Thanks for checking in, and we will be back next week to talk about the second round of the playoffs. And thanks again to Buffalo Wild Wings, our sponsor. We'll